We will call to order the March 18th, 2019, Borough Assembly meeting. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Kurt?
Here.
Jeff?
We'll call Jeff excused, but he said he was going to be calling in, so if those of you listening at home hear him chime in later, I will make an announcement.
Bob?
Here.
Taylor?
Taylor is excused.
Mark?
Mayor Jensen is excused.
Brandy?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Thank you.
Now let us rise for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, that brings us to approval of minutes. I would entertain motion to approve the minutes of, is that January 22nd, 2019? Is that correct, Debbie?
That is correct.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the minutes have been approved. At this point, I would entertain a motion to either amend or approve tonight's meeting agenda.
A second.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. The agenda has been approved as is. There are no public hearings this evening, nor are there any bid awards. Brings to number seven, persons to be heard related to the agenda. And before I have some people come forward, a friendly reminder, in the words of my friend Walter Sobchak, this is not Vietnam, there are rules, and we use the rules of Robert's Rules of Order, which just means please be respectful and civil, to refrain from name-calling or personal attacks. And seeing the faces in the audience I see, I know that won't be an issue, but I suppose make it a point to say that nonetheless. So who's ever ready to speak tonight? Mr. Berg, just come forth, state your name and who you represent, and we'll begin. And one last reminder, as dictated by code, each person will be given 5 minutes to speak. And if you run that long, I'll give you a 30-second warning so that you can find a way to be efficient.
Thank you.
Please proceed, sir.
Mr. Mayor and Assemblyman, I'm David Berg. I represent Viking Travel today, and I'm here to speak for Uncruise Adventures concerning the public use of the Assembly Chambers. I'd like to speak in favor of the borough renting the Assembly Chambers to commercial entities for meetings and for other events. I realize that there are other venues in the community that are available for public use and rent, but they're not always available on a continuing basis. Uncruise would like a place where they can share, can have their guests assemble for each Friday during the day from late June until early September this summer. Initially, Uncruise had the Hanson, the NSA&B building lined up with the local Petersburg Market, and Farragut Farms wanted that venue on more than a few of those Fridays for their public market. Uncruise would like to have a place that's consistent with each of their weekly sailings and not have to hop around potentially confusing their guests and other vendors. Guests typically gather before or after getting off of the ship, waiting for planes home or other activities in town before they board their cruise. And they browse the internet or play games or share stories and photos while of the trip while they wait. We provide an on-site hostess all day to help by providing directions and other information as needed by the guests. So the guests wouldn't be bothering borough employees. They would be pretty much confined to this room rather than being out in the foyer. Of course, they'd use the restrooms and come and go during the day. So thank you. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for Mr. Berg? Thank you for your testimony, sir.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yes, he said the access code was not working.
No problem.
Trying again. He should be on soon.
Okay. Duly noted. Other people that would like to speak? Mr. Mergus, please go ahead. Your name and who you represent, please.
My name is John Mergus. I represent myself and my business, Petersburg Marine, and my employees. And I'd like to address item 15C, request by Assemblymember Merle to, my request is that you allow that to move forward. I think Assemblymember Merle's request has very strong merit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mergus. Other people with views related to the agenda, go ahead, as
Jay,
always.
Yes. I believe Jeff might be on the phone.
Oh, yes, and for those listening at home, member Jeff Mucci has called in. Is that you, Jeff?
Yes, it is, Jay.
All right, thank you. Welcome. All right, sorry, name and who you represent.
Okay.
Please proceed.
Good evening. My name is Amber Burrell, and I represent the 31 people that signed this sheet, and the other one that went to Sitka this morning, so is not here. And we would strongly encourage you guys to take a look at this industrial code again. It was the intent that it was supposed to streamline the process, not make it necessary for special use permits. And we really don't think there's a lot of clarity. Someone in the audience made a little graph that was a little bit easier to read. It was more in line with what the previous wording was and what it is now. But this hasn't been approved. I mean, Liz hasn't read through it. This is just something that, okay, is this right? Is this not right? There's a lot of confusion under that industrial code. And there's a lot of people that bought industrial land with the express purpose of doing things with it. Many people in this room have really great ideas, growth opportunities, or maybe just building a home with a home business. Those are really being limited right now. And I do not think that our economy can afford to not allow industrial lots to promote industry. And I think that's it.
Thank you, Amber. I appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Of course.
And I'm going to give you these in case you...
Please, and thank you. Other
Amber, I think
persons who would like to speak, no, please just step up and announce your name and who you represent.
Hi, my name is Pete Litzheim, and I represent myself and my business is the Mill Incorporated and Diamante Gift Shop, Teresa Litzheim. As excited and upset as many people who own property in Petersburg Borough are, and I think there's a lot more than even have come, I really believe that this thing should start over from ground zero. And I'm going to tell you why. There's a huge precedent. I don't know how it was ignored. I don't know how it was missed, of homes being built on industrial land. South Harbor to the south is all industrial land. I've been parts of people building their homes on that industrial land. It was not a complicated issue back in the 70s and 80s. I think this one, for some reason, I don't know if it generated from staff or if it generated from the elected advisory board, but it seems like when Bill Manish decided to start investing a lot of money developing a piece of industrial land, everything hit the fan, and it's, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it's like, I asked a question at Planning and Zoning last week, what about precedent? What about all the, I mean, you think of it, Jerry O's home is on industrial land. Everything above him to the Severson, I think it's Severson Road, that's industrial land, houses built on industrial land. So here's the perception, when somebody wants to buy now, you're changing the code, and all of a sudden somebody who's built on industrial land, but you're going to change that code. But see, buying and selling property is based a lot on perception. And this is a huge negative impact on people who have invested for many years, people who have recently invested. And I want to ask you a question. We were told at the last meeting that these colors, these pretty painted things, are a done deal. So, don't even talk about that because this is already in code. So I disagree with that. I thought, what are we going to talk about then? If this is already in rock or stone or cement, whatever you want to call it, I think this was good from wherever it came from, because I'm sure that community had the time to sit down and rationalize and think about it and figure it all out. But I think this should have started, instead of somebody from staff or somebody from planning and zoning saying, hey, I got a bright idea. We don't like what an investor's doing who's been in this town forever. So let's change the whole thing. I think when that planning and zoning or that staff person came to the council or the assembly and asked you, because I know what really happened, they don't have the power to just go out of their own advisory position and just say, hey, we're going to look at adopting this into Petersburg Borough Code. So they had to come to you, and you had to say, okay, we'll adopt this. But the innuendo here is, hey, this is a done deal to all of us property owners. I think it should go back to the place where you say, what do the property owners want to do? For crying out loud, the borough owns more land than all of us. That was the other question I had, is where's our new land? Did we get new land becoming a borough like we were told?
It's in the works.
We're going to get it.
And this isn't going to be a question and answer.
I know, but back to this same thing.
Please proceed.
So,
thank you.
So I'm probably out of time almost, but I wanted to just say I want you to reconsider, just simply take this back and ask us what we think first. Maybe everybody who's invested in land that you're getting the tax money from, because you're not getting it from yourself. I know a lot of city lands represented here, borough land. Ask us what we think first. Is that possible?
Well, of course, sir. Anything further?
Yeah, time? I have a lot of things to say, but that's enough for now.
Thank you for your testimony, sir.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Lars Christensen, and it's only taking me a minute or two to say what I want.
Okay.
There's been big changes in my life in the last 3 years, and one of them surprised me. I didn't know it would be involved in getting into politics. But I just want to say I want to speak on the planning and zoning thing that's coming up. And this is just sort of my say, hi, my name's Lars, and you're probably going to hear a lot from me down the road.
Thanks, Lars. Yes, please proceed, sir.
Good evening. My name's Ray Olson, Jr., and I represent myself and my wife. And I'm just going to read you my letter, you guys.
Thank you.
And long forgotten are the overtures of the city of Petersburg in the 70s to the people of Scow Bay on how beneficial it would be for the residents of Scow Bay to become part of the city as it was being annexed into the city. Soon after, in the 80s, came the supposed need, so the zoning was adopted. With the zoning, the people lost the right to do as they pleased on their own property, for they then came under the jurisdiction and the zoning code of the city of Petersburg. And if your property was zoned industrial, and one thing I'd like to interject, they asked us at the time what you would want your property to be. And so a lot of people came up with they wanted industrial because it gave it the widest range of uses. So I want to keep that in mind. A conditional use permit was required to build a house on your property. As I now read the current proposed changes regarding the industrial zone property, what was once legal in building a house on industrial land with a conditional use permit is no longer allowed or legal to do. With the proposed zoning code, a house built on the industrial land would be considered non-conforming with termination clauses. I don't know if you guys have read this, but this is scary. I mean, it's a well-crafted letter, and I mean crafted. And on with my letter. As for the subdivision that was recorded, Olson Subdivision Tract B, it is stated in the city website that the lots created large for on-lot sewer systems. The lots were not made that size because that's the size my dad wanted them. And Lester Leatherberry at the time, who was the part of the DEC, would only allow five on-lot sewer systems on the whole subdivision, which is around 34 acres. And then my question is, what's the next stage of the zoning revision? To evict us from our houses? To put us out on the streets? I mean, really, you guys. I think you guys need to go revisit this. You know, it reduces the value of our property to absolutely nothing. And I just ask you to reconsider. Thank you. Or return to the original code.
Thank you, sir. Are there people here tonight who'd like to? Mr. Burke, please proceed.
Hello, I'm Richard Burke. I'm here representing myself, and I'm here for, I guess now, two reasons. I want to set the record straight on Bill Mitnish's property. He never once came to a planning zoning meeting. I think that gets really misconstrued. If he would have come to the planning and zoning meeting, we could have listened to his ideas, why he wanted to do what he wanted to do with his property, but he never once showed up. And then I'm here for 14A, where the assembly is moving forward with putting Mr. Koenig's initiative on the ballot. I think that's an incredible disservice to Doc Lopez, Holly Wenge, and myself, who went to a ton of effort to put the marijuana, fluoride, and ATV issues on the ballot. We had to go collect over 400 signatures each. It was a tremendous amount of effort. I think if you want to give him a free pass to the ballot, you need to change the law so that it's easier for everyone else. I think it's totally wrong for you guys to be playing favorites on this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Other audience members who would like to testify? Mr. Medallen, go right ahead.
Harold Medallen, I'm representing myself and my family. And I guess I'll start out with reading my letter that I've sent you. And then you can ask me any questions, or maybe I'll have more time, I can say something else. Mayor and Assembly members, over the past year or more, the Planning and Zoning Commission and its staff have been working on a revision of the Development and Zoning Code. News reports have had borough officials explaining that the existing 1985 code has many contradictory parts due to updates in some sections but not others, that the processes used are cumbersome and slow, and that zoning is restrictive. It has been stated that many definitions in the code are non-existent, blurry, unclear, difficult to interpret and apply consistently, and difficult for people to read and understand, and that the idea of the revision would be to simplify the review and approval processes. This would be done by structuring the revised code along the lines of a model used in Oregon, which used tables and pictures instead of complicated verbiage. Most landowners are in favor of simplification of code and of less restrictive zoning, so none of this has sounded all that controversial. The new code was passed by the Planning Commission with little or no public input and sent on to you. It went through the required three readings and was adopted in December pending approval of a new zoning map. In January, property owners received copies of the proposed new zoning map in the mail, and it was on examining these that most of us became aware of the magnitude of the changes. The zoning categories have been changed. There were now two commercial zones instead of three, and three industrial zones instead of one. Boundaries had been moved in several areas, and some were created where none had existed before. Many previously allowed uses had been eliminated. For example, my family and I have for decades owned waterfront property in the C2 light industrial zone. This zone extends from the south parking lot of the South Harbor to the Ocean Beauty Dock. Under the proposed map, it would be changed to the new categories of downtown commercial and general commercial, neither of which zone would any longer allow the marine-related light industrial uses the original zone includes. At the same time, several new light industrial zones have been inexplicably carved out of existing I-1 industrial zone properties in the vicinity of Scow Bay, and the remainder of the I-1 zone broken up into separate categories of waterfront industrial and general industrial with different allowable uses. Examination of the new development code to determine which uses are allowed in which newly created zoning categories reveals it to be a great deal more complex than the existing code, with approximately double the word count. In addition to complex tables and charts, it contains far more complicated verbiage than I could find in the old code. It is much more confusing and difficult to interpret than the existing code, and full of hair-splitting differences in allowable uses and a multitude of required permissions. So instead of the simplified, less restrictive code we were promised, we got a more complex and restrictive one, and on top of that, we find that our property is to be arbitrarily rezoned with many of the allowable uses we value eliminated, all without our input and participation in the process. I have spent the last couple of weeks comparing the old zoning code with the new. One thing that quickly became apparent was that in addition to the existing code being far more straightforward and easy to understand, I was unable to find any obvious inconsistencies in it. The best I could do was come up with a few typographical errors. It was written for Petersburg, Alaska, with a great deal of public input. It is in every way more suitable for our continuing use than the new code, which was written for someplace else with a few changes made to supposedly adapt it to our use. I will not say there couldn't be any revisions to our existing 1985 code. That is what most of us expected when we followed the news reports about code revision. But the new code is in every way worse than the old one. It should be rescinded and the existing code revised where necessary. What seems to have been misunderstood by the Planning and Zoning Commission is where the zoning came from in this town and the philosophy behind it. The zoning code we have came from the property owners. It wasn't imposed on them by the Planning and Zoning Commission, its staff, or the City Council. I was on planning and zoning during the process, and we had massive outreach to property owners to find out what zoning they desired. Many of them didn't really care to have any zoning, but accepted industrial zoning because it gave them complete freedom to use their land for everything from single-family residential to commercial to full-on industrial. Because of concerns that someone with a home on industrial zone property might someday turn around and complain about a neighbor's legitimate industrial use, the residential uses, including for multifamily structures, dormitories, rooming houses, boarding houses, mobile homes, mobile home parks, and one- and two-family dwellings, were allowed under conditional uses. This made possible a review process that put the applicant on notice that they were, in fact, on industrial property and in no position to complain if an industrial use developed on an adjacent or nearby property. The conditional use permit process is very straightforward. The requirements are not difficult to meet, and many permits have been issued for residences on industrial property. In addition, there are many homes on industrial property that were in place long before zoning. The new development code effectively turns all of these homes into non-conforming uses subject to severe restrictions on additions or to rebuilding after a fire or other disaster. The philosophy behind the present zoning is well laid out in the 1984 comprehensive plan. The plan goes into great detail about the public's intent that property owners be allowed maximum freedom and flexibility in developing their lands. It particularly points out the folly of attempting to reserve private waterfront lands for possible future water-dependent uses, stating that it would be a mistake to deny present owners the ability to develop their land according to their own vision in favor of some possible future use which may or may not occur, as to do so would deprive these owners of the present utility of their property and the community of tax revenues.
30 seconds, Mr. Medellin. 30-second warning, sorry.
The 1984 plan lays out very plainly that we as a community intend to let the free market dictate the highest and best uses of property and not let municipal officials dictate the highest and best uses. Naturally, this sentiment came from the people who owned and paid taxes on the property, not the public official whose fondest desire was to be allowed to tell owners what they could and could not do with their land. I haven't seen any indication at all that the property owners feel any differently today. Many of them are the same people that owned the property in 1985 or their descendants. Just about all the others paid full market value for their property. If it, as is right and proper, the borough were to contact each property owner and ask them if they were satisfied with their existing zoning under the 1985 code, I believe the majority of them would say yes. This has not been done in spite of plain language of the 2016 comprehensive plan stating that after the comprehensive plan is complete, the staff will work with landowners, residents, and businesses to use a generalized land use map to define existing zoning in service area 1. Instead of contacting affected landowners, residents, and businesses for their input, it appears that the proposed zoning map has been generated by borough staff alone. I urge you to reject the draft map and rescind the new development code and send the matter back to the Planning Commission and have them start over again with an accurate portrayal of their intentions and with public participation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Medellin. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Did I make it in time?
Yeah, it was very close. It was well played, sir. Other people who would like to speak this evening on views related to the agenda? Go ahead.
Dave Kensinger, and I'm speaking for myself, also a member of Planning and Zoning. I think what we were trying to do with this whole process was the first stated reason, one of the reasons we started to do it was to create industrial property that was available for industrial development. What's happened since the 1980s is pretty simple. You have a lot of homes, and then you have a lot of industrial activities. And in my tenure on planning and zoning, that leads to a large amount of conflicts. I get it. The biggest problem that this whole process is, you guys haven't adopted the map yet. Planning and zoning, we just started this process. We had a four-hour meeting the other day. We're going through amendment by amendment. And I urge everybody that owns property in the community, if they have an issue with this, they need to bring this forward. I know we're supposed to have this map done by April. Well, that's probably not going to happen. We're having another meeting tomorrow at noon. I think it'd be appropriate, due to the large number of comments, that this time period be extended. The other thing is, you guys might want to take another look at this. You might want to take, I don't think you should throw the whole thing out. This has been a huge body of work. It started with the comprehensive plan that started 3 years ago, 4 years ago. You guys adopted that. When you adopted that, that gave us marching orders, planning and zoning, on how to proceed. Then we started the code, and we created more categories. And one of the reasons we created these categories is because the exact instances that Mr. Madalyn pointed out. You have houses and industrial activity. So we created another category, and that category quite simply is called light industrial. And what light industrial means is you can build a house on it. The one thing that you can do on a light industrial is you can't put a rock crusher on it, you can't put a sawmill on it, you can't put a batch plant on it. So specifically what light industrial is, are the type of activities that maybe you wouldn't want to live next to, or you wouldn't necessarily want to have your neighbors doing. And the only thing I can say about planning and zoning is nobody likes planning and zoning. Nobody likes to be told what to do with their property. I get it. But nobody likes it when their neighbor does something that they don't like. And that's when planning and zoning comes in. So I'm just saying, we're here to work however you guys want to do it. I get it that people weren't paying attention to this process. It wasn't something we did in the dark. You guys had three meetings. We had 2 years of meetings, but I get it. I get it that people, until they get a piece of letter, until they get a letter in the mail saying, guess what, we might be changing your zoning. You might want to take a look at this, and this makes people excited. So in fairness to that, and in what Mr. Madalyn said, we do need more time for this process, I think, to work the way everybody in the community wants it to work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
Other people this evening who would like to speak on views related to the agenda? Actually, only Brennan gets one. Oh, sorry. Clerk Thompson, did you want to read something into the record?
Thank you, because you guys have put a lot of work into it, and we do appreciate that. It's not a terrible, there's a lot of great uses.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much.
You are welcome.
I'm reading some comments. Oh, I'm sorry.
My name is Karen Olson, and I submitted a letter.
Yes.
We live on industrial land. We've lived there since 1985. We do not use our home base for any industry anymore, since our road keeps getting blocked off since 2002. We intend on building a newer home there, and this whole process is just mind-boggling to me, and it was mind-boggling to hear people on planning and zoning almost poo-poo some of the people who had plans for their retirement, Heather O'Neill in particular, and say that she can't do what she had planned on doing. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Please reject it.
Thank you kindly. I'll pay slightly better attention this time. Was there any other folks here this evening who'd like to speak on views related to the agenda? Okay, I'm going to miss somebody else in that one. Whenever you're ready, Clerk Thompson.
Thank you. I'm reading some comments from Mayor Jensen, who couldn't be here this evening. I do not support the use of the assembly chambers for Uncruise Adventures staging area. It will be disruptive to borough staff and people conducting business in the borough offices. I also feel it will set a bad precedence of using borough buildings for private enterprise. And then about the designated assembly seats agenda item.
Okay.
I am opposed to changing the process of electing borough assembly members. I believe it will make for a more controversial election. The process is not broken. Why change it? Mayor Jensen.
That is all?
Yep.
Thank you, Clerk Thompson and Mayor Jensen, for those comments. I'll give one more shot. No one else? Okay. We'll switch it over to persons to be heard unrelated to the agenda.
Hello?
Jeff, you may want to mute your phone, my friend. And there is someone here. Go, please proceed. Name and who you represent.
My name is Kathy Reamer, and I represent myself. First, I also want to say that I appreciate the work that the Planning and Zoning Board have done with the direction that they've been given. And I have to say that whenever you affect somebody's pocketbook, there's going to be a lot of controversy, so don't take it personally. I understand that the Borough Assembly passed the language for our zoning codes last fall, and now they're going to review the zoning map, with the first reading being on April 1st. Is the implementation of the code that you passed contingent on the passage of the zoning map? That's a question.
Since we're not be doing a Q&A with that, I don't actually have that answer. Catch up with Liz Cabrera on break, if you would. I'm sure she can answer that question for you.
Great.
Thank you.
I think this is important because I think the borough should know what's being used. The borough assembly should know what's being used to as their code when people are building new homes on this property, because when you get a building permit, you're handed the code, and they need to know if they're working under the old code or the new code. So I just want to make that point. I admit I haven't looked at the entire newly passed code. It's too thick, I don't have time, and I probably wouldn't understand the language if I did read it. I did take a look at a synopsis of the information that was available on the borough website, and two items caught my eye. I've highlighted these items for you, and they're on that handout that I gave you. Both of these things are different from what they were in the old code and potentially reduce the value of our properties and further restrict what we do with our property. First, manufactured homes or trailers are allowed on every residential lot in Petersburg under this new code, and I disagree with that for two reasons. Manufactured homes are built to lower standards than modular and stick-built homes. They sit on wheels, not foundations. They deteriorate more quickly over time, and they reduce the value of the home around them. The second thing is, nobody that I've talked to knows about this language. If this truly is a change that residents want to this code, then good. But if it isn't, then it shouldn't be in the code, and for people to not know is not okay. This certainly did not come from the community. If nobody knows about it. Let me give you an example of what this does. In my case, I have a 2.5-acre lot across the street from my house that is currently for sale. Under the new code, a person can buy this lot, subdivide it into 8 equal lots, and put a trailer on every lot and sell those as homes. The people in my neighborhood want a trailer park? Maybe they do, but maybe they don't. They should have they should be able to make that decision. And they shouldn't be surprised when things like that pop up that they had no clue were coming down the pike. In addition, when I purchased this lot, I purchased this lot when it was regulated by the old language of the code, believing that there would be no barriers to selling it later on. Now I, as a landowner, have to make a decision about whether or not to sell this property, knowing that it could become a trailer park. The second item I'd like to address is highlighted on the same page, and it's about the size of garages. And mostly, I don't know who I have to ask about this, but I notice that detached garages are lumped together with warehouses and net houses. And I didn't understand what the old code says. And if you'll look at the column next to old code right there at the bottom, you'll see that it's really difficult. There's just a few numbers, and so I don't know what the old code is. But the restrictions under the new code, while they allow for larger detached garages, they're still very restrictive. Do people know about these restrictions? And I think this is what my main point for tonight's is, when things are put on you without conversation, they become surprises. Now, I don't even know if And you don't seem to know if we are governed by the old code or the new code. And I think that's an issue. I think that's a big issue because people's property is their biggest investment. So that's an answer that needs to be addressed. I think we need that answer tonight. Another point I would like to make is that I believe the code and the map need to be sent back to the Planning and Zoning Commission. I too think there are some really great things that are in the new code and the new map. However, I think there are some things that are very debilitating as well. I think that the changes that occur to each individual thing, like whether or not we have trailers, that every lot in town can have a trailer on it, need to be proposed to every single landowner in this community and need to be discussed. It shouldn't be a surprise. In addition, I think with the uncertainty of our community's future due to the proposed state budget, we need to be very, very careful about making far-reaching decisions at this point. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And just a quick aside, Liz, I misheard her when she was speaking before. We are still currently under the old code present. Sorry, Kathy, I misheard you there before, so we're on the old one right
okay,
now.
Okay, good.
It clicked with me afterwards, so I got there. Any other people here tonight with views unrelated to the agenda? Now everyone gets
unrelated.
Oh, unrelated to the problem. Absolutely, sir.
Thank you.
Of course.
Pete Litzheim, representing the Mill Incorporated, Diamantes, and Teresa Litzheim.
You bet.
So, this is a question, so I'm not going to get an answer, but I want this to go on the record. Yeah. Is this the assembly's operanda? I'm trying to be professional here. Is this the way you operate now? You don't talk to the citizens? Is this just for this meeting tonight?
No, the visitors' views, or excuse me, persons to be heard, related or unrelated to the agenda, is by code not a back and forth. It's a time for us to listen politely.
That doesn't answer my question.
I'm not sure I understand then, sir.
I'm asking you, I've been to many council meetings before and talked to the mayor, and the mayor's talked back to me, talked to the assembly, which used to be the council, and I'm just wondering if that is you just make that decision each and every meeting differently, where you can't answer a question of a citizen that elected you?
No, sir. When I'm running meetings, I generally follow code explicitly to a T.
And that's what it is. You don't talk.
That's consistent with Robert's Rules of Order.
Or is that just
Clerk
the lawyer's
Thompson?
Suggestion?
Pretty much public hearings are for people to be heard, and yes, I agree with you. Usually if there is an assembly member or a board member that would like to ask a question of the person who is speaking, they get the presider's attention, and the presider decides whether or not that person can ask a question of the person speaking, but it really is not a back and forth.
Right, so what I'm going to need to do is go after individual assembly members out on the street or call them at their home, and ask them the questions I want to ask them, because I'm not going to get any answers to any questions I got here tonight.
Not in this setting, no.
Just
correct.
For the heck of it. My question is do we adhere strictly to running our meetings based on nobody gets gain? People that get gain from activities in our public meetings should not be a part of the public meeting. And that concerns me because I've watched as staff, you're looking straight into their eyes. They get money, monetary gain. And so many times, instead of answering what a citizen's asked, one of you assemblymen or council members will ask that staff member who's getting paid. And then we'll be put off and go sit down, and basically that's it. And that's one thing. I would like to see staff not in this room. Come in as a citizen, don't come in as a paid person giving advice to countermand or change the view of a citizen, or basically annul it. No, that's not the way it is, because they get paid and you're looking them in the eye. So we really can't get down to public matters based on the electorate putting you where you are to make decisions. We have to find out what the people who are getting paid think about that first. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And I might see a lawyer.
That be moving on to board, commission, and committee reports, and there are none. Grab my readers here. Bear with me. Nothing on the consent agenda. No report of other officers. Neither a mayor's nor manager's report this evening. So that clips through that. Which brings us to ordinances for third and final reading. Ordinance number 2019-01. An ordinance amending sections 2.20.030, 2.20.060, and 2.34.010B, 2.36.080A, and last but not least, 3.08.010 of the Borough Code to designate assembly seats and directing that the amendments be submitted to the voters of the borough at the October 1st, 2019 election. I would entertain a motion to approve that.
So move.
Second.
The motion has been made by Member Lynn and seconded by Member Wolhuter. Discussion.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to be voting for this because this has cropped up more than one time. I mean, this has been presented to us more than once. Like a couple years ago, I think it was brought up by the same two people that were trying to do it. And what I would like to do is I'd like to see this go out to the public and put this to rest, one way or the other. So that's why I'm going to vote for it, and I don't believe this is something that I should be doing on my own. I think the public should weigh in on this, and if they vote her down, then that should put an end to this. So that's why I'm going to be voting yes on this for that purpose.
Thank you, Member Waller. Further discussion? Oh, for those listening at home, Member Norheim has called in. Go right ahead, Taylor.
I think I'm going to go ahead and just change my vote on this one. I thought that article or not, letter to the editor written had a good point. That, I mean, I'm opposed to this, but I allowed it to go through. And he made the point of why did he have to do all this legwork for something that I would agree with. I mean, I voted for it on the ATV thing, but we're allowing this, in my opinion, bad idea to go through. So I'm going to be switching my vote on this one, and that's all.
Thank you, Member Norheim. Anyone else for their discussion on this one?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
Member Mucci, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I'm going to be voting against this. I have the same concerns that Member Norheim has. I think Richard Burke did a good job laying out some facts that some of the hoops that he had to jump through and some other people had to jump through to get their initiatives on the ballot. And I don't think we should give a pass to some folks who just put it on there. I think they should have to go through the same process that other people have in the past. The whole issue, well, I understand what some of the assembly members are saying. I don't see it being an issue. I think we're trying to solve a problem that's not there. So I'm going to be voting against it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Member Mucci. Further discussion? I'll offer my two cents for whatever it's worth. I'll be voting for it tonight. I think Member Wolhuter summed up my position pretty well. It's been a topic in the community for a bit, and I know as an assembly person, I think it makes much more sense for the general public to vote on that, and this could kind of put that issue to bed once and for all. Anybody else for discussion? Clerk, call the roll, please.
Brandy?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
No.
Taylor?
No.
Kurt?
Yes.
Does not pass.
So was that by 3-3?
3-3.
3-3. The motion fails 3-3. Moving on to new business. Let me pull this up. That would be 19-141. Assembly Member Norheim requests the Assembly entertain the idea of creating an ordinance to deal with noise complaints. Currently, the Petersburg Police Department follows state statute to handle these situations. Attached is a copy of Juno's Disturbing the Peace Ordinance for an example. I guess I would entertain a motion to develop a Disturbing the Peace Ordinance. Cool.
So move, just for the sake of discussion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
So the motion has been made by Member Walhooter and seconded by Member Norheim. Discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Member Walhooter.
Yeah. Chief, can we get your opinion on this?
Want my paid opinion or my personal opinion?
Either or.
Well, the biggest thing is, I mean, I say we stick with the way it is. I mean, currently we enforce it by state statute. If someone's willing to call the police, leave their name, and be a victim, we will prosecute that. If they do not, if they are just mad at their neighbor or call in for every little thing and don't leave their name, we will not prosecute that. We'll just go out there, ask them to stop. But if they're willing to leave their name, we will enforce that. And until they're willing to do that, I don't think we, I mean, honestly, I don't think we need this. Because if that person's really bothered by it, they will leave their name. I understand good neighbors, I mean, would talk to each other and explain the issue and ask them to be quiet. But until they're willing to do that, I don't think we need I don't think we need it.
And answer your question, Member Wilhuda?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Of course. Further discussion? Member Lynn.
Yes. In talking about this, the big issue has to do with somebody. I believe in a good neighbor policy, and I think one neighbor ought to be able to talk to another one. And if they're not willing at some point on down the line to put their name on the line, then I really don't think we should go through with it. The other part of that is that I asked the chief and today, you know, how many disturbance calls, noise disturbance calls that we got, and how many he operated on last year. And what he was telling me, we probably had about 100 calls, plus or minus, probably plus. And with that, I asked about how many were, you know, followed through. He says most of them were just by the fact that the officer talked to him, the issue went away. So I don't see a need for this either, nor do I believe at this point with the way our budget looks that we should be, as a borough, should be taking on that responsibility.
Thank you, Member Lynn. Further discussion? Taylor, did you want to chime in on this one since you brought it up?
I was thinking I should probably speak to why it's on there.
Sure.
I had somebody on the street ask me if we could put a noise ordinance on because we currently didn't have one, and she had an issue with apparently one of her neighbors is a drug addict or something like that and does weird stuff in the middle of the night and is loud, and I guess the problem just doesn't get taken care of, and she thought that this would be a way that maybe she could deal with her, I don't know, neighbor with some poor life choices going on in their life, seems like, and she is also suffering the consequences of their bad choices, and she thought this would be a way that maybe she could help reduce, you know, at least get some sleep at night before she has to wake up at 5 or 6 in the morning, depending on what's going on. So that was it. That was all it was.
Thanks, Member Norheim. Anyone else for their discussion on the topic?
Yes.
Actually, this is not a time for public hearing, Mr. Christensen. Just assembly discussion at this point. Sorry.
You said anyone, so I thought.
Sorry. Only assembly. I'll chime in on it here at the end of it. I won't be voting for this today. I thank Member Norheim for explaining what he was going for there, and that makes sense. But I really like what Chief Kerr said. We should be accountable. You know, the idea of calling in anonymous complaints could become a real bickery neighbor thing, and that amongst the other pieces, I won't be voting for this. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Jeff?
No.
Bob?
No.
Taylor?
Yeah.
Kurt?
No.
Jay?
No.
Brandy?
No.
Thank you.
And that fails on a 5-1-5. Is that correct, Clerk Thompson?
Correct.
All right. And that brings us on to item 19-115, Uncruise Adventures, request to use Borough Assembly Chambers. I would entertain a motion to approve that.
So move.
Second.
The motion has been made by Member Wohlhuter and seconded by Member Lynn. Discussion. Member Wohlhuter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I'm gonna vote no on this one because for a lot of different reasons. One, I think, is wear and tear on the building. It's going to cost us extra for taking care of the restrooms, and then, you know, the building's just going to get wore out. I think it is going to be way more disruptive for the city borough, you know, clerks and things, you know, that work in the building here. So I'm going to be voting no because I can just see this is disruptive. And there's other facilities that can be rented that they have rented in the past, but they've tried to shy away from it. So I'm going to be voting no for this reason.
Thank you, Member Wohlhuter. Further discussion?
Yeah.
Member Lynn.
Yes, Lynn. We were on the radio today. We had a call in from an individual. That individual said, you know, you as a borough should not be in competition with private industry. And they make a very good point with me on that issue. And I do not believe we should be if there's other sources available. And I think that needs to be explored first.
Thank you, Member Lynn. Member Morrell.
Yeah, I was just going to, you know, basically voice what Bob said is that I don't think that we need to be in competition with anyone else. I mean, if there's absolutely no other venue, then maybe rent the Parks and Rec or the library or something, but I don't think that we need to be disrupting the staff up here and competing with other private business.
Thank you, Member Morrell. Taylor or Jeff, either of you guys care to chime in?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry.
Jeff.
Go ahead. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Go, speak.
Go for it, Jeff.
Oops, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I don't want to compete with private enterprise, but I would hope that Uncruise would, you know, look around to make sure that there's nothing available for them to use. And if the time comes where they need to approach the city about a place for them to stage some of their folks, you know, we could have that conversation. I know in the past they have used the library, and that didn't work out too well. But I think there's some opportunities for them in town. I think if they've exhausted all the private enterprise and they can't find a place to work, I think we should help out as much as we can. I think we should be welcoming to business and industry in town. And, I'd be supporting it after they've looked at all the private enterprise options that were out there. Thank you.
Thanks, Member Mucci. Go ahead, Taylor.
Okay. Now, I know both the John Hanson Hall and the Sons of Norway Hall have lots of room for an uncruise-type boat. So those would be way more practical than the assembly chambers. Just no. They can go somewhere else and use up the private businesses that are more or less built for this type of thing. That's it.
Thanks, Member Norheim. I guess everyone else has voiced their two cents a lot for mine. I guess it appears I'm in a lone person in a different camp there. I think the assembly chambers one Friday or each Friday is pretty good, being pretty good neighbors to them since they're choosing to homeport here. I understand the arguments my fellow assembly members have made, but my logic was if we did it here and it didn't work, then we'd very quickly learn it wasn't a good idea. But my two cents. Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Taylor?
No.
Kurt?
Nope.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Brandy?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
And it fails.
On a 4-2 margin. Which brings us to 19-116. Request to amend industrial zone allowances in Petersburg. And I'll read the action specifically. Assemblymember Morrell requests Assembly approval to direct borough staff to rewrite the Petersburg Borough Development Code with regard to industrial zoning and its allowable uses. She would prefer the allowable uses to be changed back to more closely align with the previous allowances for industrial zoned property. I would entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Morrell, and we'll give it to second by Member Wolhuter. Discussion. Member Morrell, please.
Okay, well, obviously there's a lot of people that feel strongly about this, and I don't think that, I think that it was somewhat misleading as to what the purpose was, and so I think that a lot of people weren't maybe paying as much attention until they received a letter in the mail, which was after the code was already approved. In that respect, I think we kind of got the cart before the horse, and maybe we needed to have the map come out simultaneously with the code so that people could look at it together. Granted, it's done. We've already gone past that. So I think that we need to kick it back to the staff and have them relook at it and listen to the citizens and more closely align with our new code, what it was with our old code, and what the citizens want and the landowners want.
Thank you. Further discussion.
You may ask, then I can.
Are you waiting there, Member Wolhuter?
No, thanks. I'm gonna be voting yes on this because there's just too many people here that have got some problems with the way the code is now written, and I don't want to disrupt the, I don't want to disrupt their lives because of that. So I'm sorry. Did I speak out of
turn? No, you're good. I'm about to hang on. Okay. For you to be done.
Right. Well, thank you. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Member Lynn, proceed.
All right. I wanted to leave the expert first here. The only problem I have here with this is the allowable back to what was previously there. I have a problem with that part of it because I think planning and zoning has done a lot of good works. I totally agree with relooking at it, and I totally agree with changing the time frame, and I totally agree with going back out. Once people see the zoning map with the code, that's where the rubber meets the road, and that really, we hadn't done that till this point. And so there has to be at least one more, maybe two more iterations of this whole, of the whole process, in my opinion. So if we voted as it is, I'll vote no, but I do agree with everything because to say that it goes back, that she would prefer the allowable uses be changed back more closely aligned, that's the one I have a problem with because I think planning and zoning needs to have the wherewithal to listen to the public, go back out if they need to, do whatever they need to do, and then come back to us with whatever those proposed changes are.
So are you proposing amending this, Member Lynn, or what are you shooting for here, if I may ask?
I'm headed there, but I want to see where Member Morrell is here.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with kicking it back to staff and letting the people speak to planning and zoning on the code itself, not just the map. And then have them bring it forward. Good with that. But I think that we need to allow people, now that they've seen the map and seen the proposed changes, to have their time to speak to planning and zoning, because I think a lot of it was overlooked when it was just the code being put on the table and not with the map itself.
Got it. Thank you. Mucci or Norheim, anything to offer at this point? Sorry to put you on the spot, but I can't see you.
I do. Basically, I had heard that I wasn't at the meeting. Laurel was, though, and she said that there was a lot of issue with that one in particular. So, I mean, it sounds like a good idea. So many people dropped the ball. It sounded like nobody was paying attention, I guess, and didn't go to the meetings, and now notice was put out, but after the fact kind of thing. Yeah, I could probably vote for this one. It seems like we need to dial things back a little bit and let everybody play catch up on where we're at with this.
Thank you, Member Norheim. Member Mucci, anything to offer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have anything to offer. I'm just trying to sort out what we're trying to do here. I'm for letting planning and zoning continue on. Eventually this is going to come before the assembly. It sounds like there's going to be the calendar's going to get pushed around so that there's more time for the community to comment on some of the proposed changes. I just don't think going back to the starting block is the right thing to do. I'll be voting against this at this time.
Thank you, Member Mucci. I guess I'll offer my two cents on it. First of all, thank you to the people who came out on this beautiful Monday evening to give us your opinions and for taking the time to write letters. Know that we actually do listen and hear them. At least speaking for myself, I know I do. Couple different thoughts. Hang on, Taylor. I'm going to finish up here, man. Thanks. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. I agree with what Dave Kensinger said before, too. I think it's going to be a moving target on timeline. The idea of rushing this for citizens right now, I don't think that makes a lick of sense. It doesn't, for lack of a better way to phrase it, it doesn't feel fair. Because I get it. Like, life's busy. I know for myself, getting a letter in the mail, some of this, too, I'm like, oh. And I feel like I've read a lot on this topic, being in the role I'm in, and I was still, it's, I get it. It's a lot to process. The way this is written right now, I do have issue with it, only in the sense and the context that it completely bypasses that planning and zoning. And for all the hiccups and drawbacks to this process, these guys have been working at it for over 2 years. That's a heck of a long time. I really want planning and zoning to have a hand in that. So if an amendment was made, as Member Morrell and Member Lynn spoke to, I'd definitely be in favor of getting that back in planning and zoning hands to address the concerns that people have brought up tonight and through letters. So if we end up going that direction, I'll definitely be in support of it, my two cents.
Okay.
Member Morrell, yes.
When I asked Debbie to do this, it says for staff to rewrite. I think that meant planning and zoning as well with the whole, that was my assumption. As I didn't mean for it literally to be. So I guess maybe there was some wording wrong there.
I'll go for a point of clarification, Clerk Thompson. So as it's written right now, does this capture the thrust of what I was saying and Member Lynn was saying in terms of getting planning and zoning aligned and making sure the people that spoke tonight and through letters are able to have a thorough and deliberate process, including planning and zoning? Is that included in that?
Okay, so
in time frame.
Basically, the narrative was just a narrative, so it really wasn't the motion. And so you did ask for someone to approve, but I understood what you were approving. To me, it was asking the assembly to decide, yes, we're going to have to relook at everything. But now Member Morrell has since clarified that she does agree that it should go back to the Planning Commission, and they should look at the code and the map, listen to the people, and bring it back to us later. So in my opinion, that is the motion.
So just one second, Member Lynn. Meaning no need to capture the essence of that, no need for amendments, we're good as is.
I believe so, yes.
That is, I feel comfortable with that language, but I want to make sure the other assembly members do too. Member Lynn, go ahead, you've been waiting very patiently. Yeah. Sorry, chomping at the bit.
Member Morrell also talked specifically about the industrial, and I agree with that. That seems to be where the major heartburn of everything is, in my reading. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see that inserted in there some places. We're specifically asking to look at how the three zones, the code, and the maps.
Catching that, Clerk Thompson?
For industrial zoned properties.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick pause to clarify. Members Norheim and Mucci, have you been following this?
Yes.
Just want to make sure. Meaning?
Yeah.
Cool. You too, Jeff?
Kinda.
Clerk Thompson, can you hear Clerk Thompson when she speaks, Jeff?
Yes, I can. I'm just curious, is this what we were originally doing in this whole process, or is looking at the light industrial something new that planning and zoning is going to look at?
Well,
thank you, Clerk Thompson.
Yes. Member Mucci, the code itself has already been approved by the assembly, so planning and zoning will need to go back and look at the industrial definition and allowable uses and try to incorporate the comments that they've been receiving and change the code that has already been approved. Recommend a change to the code, correct, that has already been approved.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for the clarification.
And I've got one more clarification here as well. Member of the public tonight, Ms. Kathy Remy, brought up some concerns regarding residential stuff and questions that she brought the visual for us. This might not even be an appropriate question, but will stuff like that be on the docket on tomorrow's planning and zoning meeting?
I think that they are taking comments on any zoning issues at the planning and zoning meeting.
Got it. So I would encourage Ms. Remer to get in contact with planning and zoning tomorrow so your voice can be clearly heard at the appropriate time. I'm sorry, I saw you looking over there, so I want to make sure you got acknowledged on that. Member Linda, do you have something else?
Yes. There was a number of letters that came to the assembly that did not go to planning and zoning that I talked today with Debbie about that need to be forwarded to them as part of that consideration.
But back to the point at hand, any further discussion on the motion? Yes, Member Wolhuter.
It wasn't clarification here. You know, I would think that it would might be a little more. It seems like the last sentence that she put in there, she would prefer the allowable uses to be changed back to more closely aligned with the previous allowance for industrial zone property. I think that kind of hems in the planning and zoning, you know, with that statement. I think it would be just as clear to say Assembly Member Marole requests Assembly approval to direct borough staff to rewrite the Petersburg Borough Code with regard to industrial zoning and its allowable uses. We could probably simplify it just that much.
Period.
I think, if we wanted to amend it.
First, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
I'm going to get the language wrong here, so I apologize in advance. Instructing P&Z to change something is probably not what we want to do. I would suggest that you instruct them to look at it and to listen to the comments and review all of that and come back with their recommendations to the Assembly, rather than trying to specifically tell them to change something. They may, as a group, come in and say, we don't want to change industrial, we want to change something else to make this work, or and then change how the land use map looks. I'm just kind of hesitating
to say,
does the Assembly want to give direction to actually do something versus go through it, review it, and go through, continue the process that they've been going through for a while, but take all this, these letters into account.
Member, since you're the one who brought this up, Member Morrell, does that work for you? Since
yes.
It's your motion? Thank you for being simple about that one. I appreciate it. That, Member Wolhuter, does that satisfy you as well?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Excellent. Jeff or Taylor, anything else to add to this not confusing at all situation we're in right now? That's
satire. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can someone just clarify what we're about, what's the wording of the motion?
Clerk Thompson, take it away.
Okay, let me see if I can do this from my notes here. Basically, the Assembly is requesting the planning and zoning look at the development code that has already been passed by the Assembly and listen to comments from the public and see if they feel there should be changes made to the code and come back with any recommendations for changes to code or the zoning map at a later date.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Absolutely. And just to be clear on that, I can definitely work with that language. I'll be voting yes on that because, to me, that really ensures the people who have turned out tonight and sent us letters or pulled us aside at the grocery store are getting a chance to get their voices heard and their issues addressed clearly. And with that, is there any further discussion on this one? Anybody want to need further clarifications? Are we feeling good? That was a half joke. Sorry. Clerk, please call the roll.
Taylor.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Brandy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Well done getting through that one, everybody.